Well, good morning. This AFCO class, I've had some, well, it's been kind of an interesting experience for me bringing them down here to you, because I've brought you a husband and wife that are both going through AFCO. Last week, I brought you a family, and this week, I'm bringing you a brother and sister. So I'm kind of running the gamut here of people to bring you down. And this particular brother and sister, some of you are probably at least somewhat familiar with. In fact, I've been familiar with him for 10 or 11 years, I'm guessing. I've brought Michael and Teresa Hargraves with me, and if the last name rings a bell, there's probably good reason for that. And I'll let Michael share a little bit more. Michael?
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone? Glad to be here at Amazing Facts to share my testimony of how the Lord has led me. And I'd like to begin with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as I share now what you've done in my life, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us this morning, that the words that I say would be your words, and I can glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I was born in Loveland, Colorado, in November 18, 1992, to Lowell and Sandra Hargraves. Probably some of you know them. And when I was about 7 months old, my family and I went to Ukraine, where we spent a large share of my growing up years, about 7 years altogether, or 6 years growing up in Ukraine, traveling around to the different cities doing public evangelism. Those were the days when everyone wanted to hear the message of God. Everyone was eager for it. And then when I was about 6 years old, I came back to the States, where we did seminars, and we did that for the next, 12 years. We did seminars in the States, and I was homeschooled all the way until I graduated from Sycamore Tree Academy, which is a place where we can do correspondence, and I grew up on the road. My life has been pretty much traveling around. I enjoy it. I think it's a fun thing to do and get a lot of good experiences. And let me tell you a little bit about my life before I came to know Christ, before I was really converted. Before I came to know Christ, I was not really happy. I didn't really experience true peace. I wasn't, into, alcohol and drugs and those kind of things, but I had my addictions and I was not truly converted. And my primary interest was not in Christ. I was also a violent-tempered youth, and I loved to fight and argue with my sister. It seemed to be the main thing that I would do, and argued with my parents, and I was not a very happy person. But God was working in my life, and as time continued to pass, he began to convict me that I was in need of a deeper spiritual experience. And so I knew that others' experience, like my parents, could not substitute for my own personal experience. So I surrendered to God's leading in my life, and I grew up as the son of an evangelist, of course, and it was largely because of the good influence of my parents that I'm still part of the church today, because I believe I have godly parents and a godly father set me a good example. And so I really appreciate that. The force of Christ's words in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," these impressed themselves upon me when I was about 12. And I had a dream one night in which I heard these words spoken many times, and I knew that God was calling me to surrender fully. And so at a seminar in Springfield, Missouri, 2005, I made the decision to be baptized and become part of God's church and give my life fully to Christ. It was a blessed experience for me. And I knew that it was a precious moment for me and for all of heaven. And I had true peace and happiness in my life as I was led down by my father into the watery grave and he baptized me. It was a blessed experience. That was August 12, 2006. And I've not become perfect since that day, but I've been striving to grow continually, and I believe that that is happening. And Christ also gave me a desire to start having a more vibrant devotional life, because I'd kind of been the kind where I'd only have 5 or 10 minutes of devotional time, which really isn't enough to sustain your soul. And so I started getting more into the Bible, and it's what really helped me to grow. After my baptism, we started going to Europe to do seminars. We went a lot to Europe and did a lot of seminars there. And at age 15, I went for the first time to the whole seminar that my dad did. Because when I was small, we pretty much went on the weekends so that we would be able to keep our family, because we needed the sleep. And I heard the message every night, and I started to understand why we believe what we believe. It was an excellent experience. I took notes. And then I started praying that God would give me the chance to become more involved in his service. And, of course, you can't pray that prayer and not have God answer you. And so in 2008, I helped my sister do child evangelism. She's pretty much our child evangelist for the seminars. Well, my dad does public seminars for adults. She does seminars for children, teaches them the truths. And that was a good experience. And then not much later, I had the opportunity to do a seminar in Eastern Ukraine. Any of you here ever been to Ukraine? Oh, yeah, a couple of us. And it's a blessed experience to do a seminar. And I learned there how to overcome, to a more or less degree, my phobia, because I had a phobia for speaking up front. And that was like one of my greatest phobias. But I learned that whatever God asks us to do, he also gives us the ability to do it. We just need to step out in faith and trust him. And so that's what I did. And I had 10 guests the first meeting, approximately. And I preached to those 10 guests through a translator, and I was still terrified, which gives you an idea how scared I was. And but it was a good experience to preach the gospel. It helped my mind focus on the gospel. When I woke up, when I went to bed, I was always thinking about the truths, and it was an excellent experience for me. And really, there's no better way to learn something than to what? Than to teach it. When you teach it, you learn it. And so I learned also that the greatest purpose of life is to live to help others and help them come to a knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Also, approximately a year ago, I obtained victory over a long-time addiction. So I know that God is able to give victory to him when we ask him, and we do our utmost best to overcome. Now let me tell you how we came to AFCO. You're probably waiting to hear this. This is an exciting testimony of how God led us to AFCO. Last year, we planned to do 2 seminars in Europe and then in the United States. And one seminar, that was 2010, one seminar in the United States kind of fell through due to lack of finances. And so we didn't know exactly what we were going to do. So we sent an email to 3 different sources, and we said we'd like to come, you know, do a seminar there. We'll pay the way, but you can provide for us while we're there. And the first source that responded was Thailand. We'd never been to Thailand before, but Teresa here was praying to be able to go to Thailand, and God answered her prayer. And we went to Thailand for approximately 2 months. We went north and south and did a lot of revival meetings. It was an exciting experience. I look back upon that as one of the highlights of my life. I really enjoyed it. And I learned that Asia really needs the gospel, and especially Thailand. It was a good experience. And then, interestingly, after about 2 weeks after the invitation to go to Thailand, there was an invitation to go to the Philippines. And we, of course, had agreed to go to Thailand first, so we had to go to Thailand. Wanted to go to Thailand. And then we arranged, by God's grace, to go to the Philippines. We had a seminar in Europe at that time, but we were able to push that off in the future, and we were able to go to the Philippines in December of 2010. Philippines, of course, is a Christian country of 95% Christian, and many of them are searching, and it's one of the best places to do evangelism there, and we really enjoyed that experience. Teresa did a seminar for children. I was involved with that. I had about 200 children, and then my dad did a seminar. He had about 1,000 attend each night. Reminded us of the time when we were in Europe, when we used to have people crowd in to hear the gospel. Still open there. And then after we had done that seminar, the director of the media ministry we were working with, he asked us about AFCO. And so we told him about AFCO and stuff. And he asked us, what were the chances of starting an AFCO in the Philippines? And we never thought exactly about doing that. But we prayed about it a little bit, and God started to guide us to start an AFCO in the Philippines. And at this point, I was concerned about what I was going to do after high school, because I was almost about to graduate from high school, and I wanted to know what was God's will after high school. And so I started praying about it, praying that I could go to AFCO. I really wanted to go to AFCO and learn how to be a better soul winner. And it didn't look like it was going to work out. We were planning to go instead to Europe, but we didn't end up, of course, going to Europe this fall like we had planned. God had better plans for me. Let me tell you how it worked out. Last year, we wanted to attend GYC. Anybody here been to GYC? Yeah, it's an excellent experience. I really enjoy GYC. But we didn't actually have the money because we'd spent it all on mission trips and seminars, and so we didn't know what to do. But we had a family that called and said, we have sold some possessions, and we're looking for someone to sponsor to attend GYC. And so they thought of us for whatever reason. That was quite providential. So we were able to attend GYC and experience the Christ-centered lectures there and grow. But that's not the most important thing that happened there. While we were at GYC, we met some of our friends from Europe, some wealthy Adventists from Europe. And we talked to them about, we discussed our plans about starting the AFCO in the Philippines. And we also met there with Pastor McIntosh. You probably know who he is. And together with him, we planned with them, and they said they'll be willing to help be a part of the AFCO Philippine project, and that they would consider sponsoring it. So we headed back to our home, and not much later, Pastor McIntosh called and told us that they had agreed to contribute a sizable donation to start the AFCO in the Philippines. A very sizable donation. So we praise God for the miracles that he works in guiding us. And the next issue was attending AFCO ourselves, because if you're going to teach AFCO, you obviously need to attend AFCO. And we didn't know exactly how we were going to do that, because we were planning to go to Europe instead of attend AFCO. But God, of course, is still able to work out plans. And we ended up coming, of course, here to AFCO because God miraculously provided for us. He opened the way, and he provided the way for us to attend here. And currently, my father, he's headed off to the Philippines to do a youth congress and to prepare for the AFCO Philippines. He's going to start helping get that going. And then he's going to go to Malaysia, so keep him in your prayers. In 2011, we spent our time in Hungary and Ukraine for the first part of the year doing seminars. And we had planned to do a seminar in Belgium, in Brussels, Belgium, for the first time. But that fell through, too, due to lack of finances. And so God had something better in mind. When God closes one door, he opens another door for something better. And we ended up, to make a long story short, it'd take a long time to tell the story, we ended up going instead to Davao, Philippines, which is in the southern part of the Philippines. And we did four seminars there. Each one of us in the family did a seminar. My dad did a seminar for adults, Teresa did a children's seminar, and I did a seminar for adults, and my mother did a children's seminar. So it was the first time all of us had done a seminar. It was an exciting experience. And I did a seminar on an island of 75,000 people. Of course, I didn't have 75,000 people opening night, but I had about 100 to 150, which was more than I'd ever had before. Helped me overcome my stage fright, because that was a thing that I desperately needed to overcome. But best of all, through the combined efforts of the laymen and the seminars, we had over 300 people that committed their lives to Christ in baptism there. It was a blessed experience, both on the island and on the mainland. And I tell you one experience that how God really answered prayer. We were doing a seminar in a metal, in a gym with a metal roof. And of course, there in the Philippines, it rains a lot. And one night we were planning to do a seminar and the rain came down heavily. And so you couldn't hear anything. But worse than that, the power went off. And so we ended up having to cancel that meeting. It was about the spirit of prophecy. But God worked it out. When I came back again to preach on the spirit of prophecy, again it rained, and again the power went off. And so we gathered in a team. We started to pray earnestly. And pretty soon you could just hear the rain. It gradually stopped, which was like a miracle. And then the power came on not much later, and we still ended up being able to have the meeting. And everybody came, so it was such a miracle. I saw many miracles there, and I enjoyed that experience. It was one of the highlights of my life, to serve others. And we also broadcast a seminar with HD television, which was the first time we'd done that. God has guided me tremendously in the past almost 19 years of my life over a long life. And looking back, I can say this in Psalms 126:3, the Lord hath done great things for us, or for me, whereof we or I am glad. So I can say that, claim that promise. And then it says, another one of my favorite promises is Philippians 1:6. This is from the American Standard Version. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so I know that, you know, God has begun that good work in me, and he won't give up until it's perfected. And the same with each one of you. He's begun a good work in your lives. He'll keep, as long as you let him, he'll keep working on each of us. And so I'm just so thankful for God's guidance. Another favorite text is Psalms 48:14. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And Psalms 25:9, one more text. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. If we're meek, if we're teachable, God will guide each of us and direct our lives. And I know he'll guide each one of you as you're serving him according to your ability here at Amazing Facts. And is it just your desire to say, Lord, please be my guide all the way until heaven? Is that your desire? Amen. Amen. Let's close with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way you've been guiding each person in this room and helping. I know we each have a testimony we can share of your goodness. And I thank you for what you've done in my life and how you've led me here to AFCO. And I pray that you will continue to be with all of us. Help us to serve you according to our ability. In Jesus' name, amen.